Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. A lot to share today, always starting with the latest cutting-edge and empowering information on how to live a longer and healthier life. Glucosamine, it's more than just for your joints. If they're swollen, it can extend lifespan. Marjoram, the great herb, can prevent gastric ulcers and also fights breast cancer. Folate shows eye health benefits, and also capsaicin, that's the red pepper, it can help with weight management. All over the world, outgoing behavior boosts happiness. And in a moment, I'll start with an amazing fact. Pomegranate can serve as a backup ovary. New information on that. Then this is from yesterday's New York Post, and I had a lot of emails about it. It's a whole page as you're watching now, and you can go to ustream.tv and then search for Gary Null. That's the letter U-S-T-R-A-M, ustream.tv, search for Gary Null. It's a picture of a gun with a head of a little crown of broccoli out of it. This is the organic mafia. Mad moms are pushing schools and other parents to serve only organic foods, even though they aren't really healthier, by Naomi Riley. Really? Okay. Well, maybe Naomi's correct. Maybe organic isn't better, and maybe that these mad moms are just emotionally imbalanced. We'll take a look at the objectivity and the accuracy of the New York Post and its writing team here. We have a lot to share today on environmental issues, including the whole idea that we have good science when it comes to our water quality. Also, we're going to examine the privatization of water. We're going to look at chemicals in our environment that are told to the people that there's no problem with these chemicals, they're safe. No, they're not. A commentary today on the rhetoric of violence by Chris Hedges, a very important piece, and then I'll ask for your comments on it, from Truthdig. And then I'm going to give you an idea of what President Obama, when meeting with Lisa Monica in the White House, says to the president. According to Paul Joseph Watson, quote, the White House counterterrorism chief, quote, confrontational children could be terrorists. You heard me correctly. Quote, White House counterterrorism and Homeland Security advisor Lisa Monica gave a speech this week in which she urged parents to watch their children for signs of confrontational behavior, which could be an indication of them becoming terrorists. She did this at Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government on Tuesday night. She replaced John Brennan in overseeing the executive branch's Homeland Security activities. So, let's all be very diligent, because if your child throws a temper tantrum, clearly in the mind of the president, his advisors, and those in Washington, you could have a terrorist on your hands, and shouldn't you report your child as a potential terrorist so the FBI could come in and, as they tend to do, strong arm and interrogate your potential terrorist child? Think this is a game? Think it's absurd? Think it's stupid? Well, where did it get challenged? We'll challenge it. Let's begin. According to Sayer G., the founder of GreenMed Info, fruiting plants, and he is correct, and humans both have reproductive organs called ovaries. And in the case of pomegranate fruit, that I'm a big advocate of, the anatomy resembles both almost equally. And because our primary relationship to fruit is as a consumer, we're usually too immersed in the joyful act of simply in eating fruit to notice that there's any ripening ovary together with the seeds from one or more flowers of a plant. The differences between species are obvious, of course. Fruit ovaries disperse their seeds by being eaten and then excreted by animals, whereby human ovaries remain intact within the body, dispersing their seeds, which are eggs, by way of the fallopian tubes. Observing a cross-section of the pomegranate and the human ovary side by side, you can see the remarkable resemblance. The ancient doctrine of signatures that nature weaves into herself and which is recognized by many systems of traditional medicine around the world makes it so that sometimes the edible portion of a plant, our food, will be of unique benefit to the organ in the body that it resembles. The walnut, for instance, has a skull-like protective casing enclosing the biohemispheric meat of its seed, which strikingly resembles the very human brain that it is known to nourish with omega-3 fatty acids and other neuroprotective compounds that the walnut has. So in effect, there's one case where the walnut is good for the brain, looks like a brain, and is this just an accident or a coincidence? In the case of pomegranate fruit, which again is the ripened ovary, together with its seeds from the pomegranate flower, it is so perfectly resembling the human ovary in structure that the resemblance is unlikely to be accidental. Could this be nature revealing her gift of healing in a way that is so obvious that you would have to be blind not to see it? It may demonstrate the intelligent design woven into the co-evolutionary relationship between certain interdependent species. Indeed, mammals and humans. Now, what is perhaps more amazing than the anatomy resemblance of pomegranate to the human ovary is its functional resemblance. Experiments have been performed revealing that pomegranate contains an estrogen structural and functional design similar to one found in mammals, namely estrione, E-S-T-R-O-N-E, and is capable of replacing the function of the ovary when removed from female animals. The ovarectomy-induced postmenopausal experimental model, it is believed that a 17 milligram per kilogram pomegranate is the highest known source of estrione in plants. In an article published in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology, female rats whose ovaries were removed developed accelerated bone loss, loss of uterine weight, and depressed symptoms, which were reversed when administered pomegranate extract. Quote, administration of pomegranate extract, the juice and the seed, for 2 weeks to the mice that had their ovaries removed prevented the uterus weight and shortened the immobility of time compared with 5% glucose dose mice controlled. In addition, there was a decrease in BMD, was normalized by administering pomegranate extract, end quote. So just one of the little interesting things of nature. Now, mind you, hormone replacement by principle is capable of feeding the underlying deficiency due to the well-known negative feedback loop within the endocrine system. It may also result in the downstream accumulation of unhealthy levels of hormone metabolites. The change of life that attends the normal aging process, despite conventional medical classification, is not a disease. And when the burden of hormone production in women shifts away from the ovary to the adrenal cortex, the body can be supported to produce additional hormones via basic nutrients. So, in lay language, what this means is for women to keep your ovaries healthier, to keep your hormonal balance longer, try pomegranate, the seeds, the juice, and the concentrate. I don't believe we need a scientific study to see what researchers at Wake Forest University found and published in the Journal of Research and Personality. Quote, across all cultures all over the world, outgoing behavior promotes feelings of happiness. The new study was inspired by previous research conducted by William Fleeson, a psychology professor at Wake Forest in North Carolina. And he found that introverts, while engaging in extroverted behaviors, experience greater feelings of happiness. And the big five personality traits are extroversion, agreeableness, conscientiousness, and openness. And those are the things that make a difference. So, just be open and upbeat and outgoing, and that can help you be happy, deal with sadness, and hopefully find things that you're enthusiastic about. And I think at the base of that is just being enthused. When we see a coming attraction for something, maybe it's an opera, a movie, a play, a new book coming out, a lecture, we can become enthused. We want to be a part of it. We're excited by it. And especially if it's something that we appreciate and challenges us. It's no different, by the way, than people on going in Central Park on a Sunday. I was with a large group running in the park training, and you saw all these New Yorkers out there looking at the spring daffodils and tulips and the bulbs coming up. And it's something you kind of become excited by, the expectancy of something fun happening, something joyful. We love to watch blossoms. We love to watch cubs, bear cubs, lion cubs, seal cubs, all these babies, because the excitement and anticipation watching the bonding process between the mother and the baby. It excites us. It warms our heart. It gives us joy. It opens us up. Good hormones start to flow. So there comes time when we got to get out of our homes or apartments, break our schedule, and spend quality time looking at, appreciating, and engaging in positive expectations. And you're going to be a healthier person. Something else can help you be healthier: repairing your DNA. This is some new research, and here's what it has to say. It says hemp repairs DNA. DNA is the deoxyribonucleic acid. It's the hereditary material that all human beings have, and animals have, and all organisms have. In fact, the DNA is in every cell of our bodies. Each cell's nucleus has DNA, which is rolled into structures that are our chromosomes. We have 23 pairs of chromosomes. Now, most genes contain the information needed to make functional molecules called proteins. And so the journey from gene to protein is complex and is tightly controlled within each cell. But it's mainly two steps: transcription and translation. Together, transcription and translation are known as gene expression. Now, during the process of transcription, the information stored in a gene's DNA is transferred to a single similar molecule called RNA, ribonucleic acid, in the cell nucleus. Now, both the RNA and the DNA are made up of a chain of nucleotide bases, but they come from different chemical properties. The type of RNA that contains the information for making a protein is called a messenger RNA, because it carries the information or a message from the DNA out of the nucleus into the cytoplasm. So the genes direct protein production. For example, a protein, a long chain amino acid, can be an enzyme that triggers a certain chemical reaction in the body, and it can boost your immune system. But we have damage to our DNA every single day, just breathing in city air, drinking pollutants out of our tap, getting an x-ray, getting in an argument, having our emotions go up and down, oxidative stress, being where there's some air pollution, eating some processed food, drinking alcohol. All of this adversely affects our DNA. Even getting too much sun, viruses, bacteria, all of this damages the DNA. And that in turn causes us to prematurely age, and that in turn causes diabetes, cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. Cells simply cannot function properly if the DNA is damaged. However, the cells can, through chemical process, reverse the damage themselves. Hemp seed and hemp seed oil have been found to be a factor in DNA repair. Hemp has the perfect 3-to-1 ratio of omega-3 fatty acids to omega-6 needed for the human body. One job of the omega-3 is cellular repair. Hemp is 65% of protein, 35% of which is what is called globulin endosten protein. It is the protein that is closest to human globulin and is very easily digested in the body. And the protein is a major factor in DNA repair, as the cell uses the protein to correct the DNA damage. So it can help if you put some hemp protein into your shake each day. You can help repair your DNA, and that helps prevent aging, and that helps prevent disease. Something that simple, that easy, could have profound effects. Now, we know that glucosamine is important for your joints. Glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate taken together can re-lubricate your joints so you're not stiff anymore, can turn off inflammation so you're not swollen anymore with the pain. But according to Nature Communication, the journal, University of Jena, they came up with some interesting research that shows they can also extend the lifespan in mice. So this is important. This is brand new. So glucosamine supplements can reduce the mortality in humans, according to 77,000 persons that were taking glucosamine supplements in this. Now, the reality is most people over the age of 40 are going to have some problems in their joints, inflammation. We have tens of millions who have arthritis. So if you're taking glucosamine and chondroitin for your joint pain and stiffness and thinning of your mucosal membranes, you could also, without even being aware of it, be adding years onto your life. We have a lot of people who have gastrointestinal problems, including gastric ulcers. New research shows that a simple herb, this herb is marjoram. Marjoram is a member of the mint family. Mainly it's used in the Mediterranean. It's kind of a sweet-flavored, mildly spicy herb. In fact, some people mistake it for oregano. And in ancient Greek societies, it was used to express peace, harmony, and happiness. Now we know it's rich in vitamin K. In fact, it gives us a lot of vitamin K. And that can help give us strong bones, but it also has healing properties, very strongly anti-inflammatory and antibacterial. And the latest research published in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine shows that marjoram extracts can help heal gastric ulcers. And that's good. So there was a research at United Arab Emirates University tested marjoram on breast cancer cells in mice, and it seems that by even using minimal amounts of the extract, they were able to stop cancer cells from dividing and therefore spreading. So good news. Marjoram can help with gastric ulcers, preventing them, and help fight breast cancer. And finally, cherries are really one of nature's most perfect foods. They're good for you. But we're finding out for different reasons. The newest study done at the USDA, Western Human Nutrition Research Center, shows that cherries add a lot of power to the diet. This was published in the Journal of Nutrition. Rich in fiber, potassium, that's good for your heart, melatonin, that's good for your immune system, better night's sleep, and whether it's dried, frozen, or fresh, or as a concentrate, doesn't matter. It's all good for you. So let's just make sure that we're consuming more cherries. And cherries are very good for turning off inflammation in our joints and muscles as well. That's the latest on health and healing. Now let's shift into some environmental issues. And this is something that I believe we're going to hear more and more about. Water. You have to put this into a larger context. In some areas, we're getting more water than what we can use, and we have flooding. In other areas, we're getting less water than what we need, and we're ending up with drought. The problem is, because of global warming, these are becoming permanent. So right now, we've had one of the longest dry spells in West Texas history, in California history, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Colorado history, the worst fires in their history. But also, the normal ways that you get water, and over 30 million people get their water out of the Great Colorado. But that's because the Great Rockies are loaded with snow, and then as the snow begins to melt over about a six-month period, starting in the spring, as the snow melts, it goes in down through the creeks and estuaries into the river. The river then goes down, is stored in a dam, and then it's released by contract and treaty to different states. Virtually all of Las Vegas's water comes from there. Most of Los Angeles and San Diego water comes from there, but other places as well. The trouble is now there's less water because there's less snowpack. In fact, now in California, nearly 2 million acres of rich farmland have been not planted, allowed to go fallow because there's no irrigation. Now you think, okay, well, that's not a big deal. So there, this 400-plus mile canal that goes from the Sierra Nevadas, that might not have enough water, but you have a lot of wells and aquifers. No, you don't. There are places in America that have aquifers, and there are places that do not. And the largest aquifer in the United States, the Alcalaba, is running empty in some areas and still has maybe another 20 years maximum for the rest. And then our entire breadbasket, we're talking about Indiana and Kansas and Illinois, is going to be without water. Certainly not enough to take care of agriculture and industry and populations. So the key to the future is, do you have your own water? Here's the problem. I've been saying this for about the last 5 years. About a handful of six companies are buying up water rights everywhere. Then the gas hydrofracking companies come in, and when they rent a person's land, they also rent water rights. And then communities have some hydrofracking, and the hydrofracking, which takes millions of gallons a year out of that aquifer, that well, for gas, each one requires about 3 million gallons. That takes away from what the community, whether the community's got 200 people or 20,000 people, it's no longer legally their water. It's whoever they signed the contract with. So I see two things happening. You have private syndicates coming in and buying up the major aquifer water. They're then going to be cutting a deal with the major cities to transport their water that they now control directly to the major cities. I believe that Los Angeles, Houston will be among these cities. And sometimes the water could be 500 miles away. What about the cost? These lines could go anywhere from maybe $100 million to $500 or $600 million per line. Who's going to pay for it? Well, in some cases, you could have some local bonds. But more often than not, it's going to come by people paying an astronomical amount every time they turn on the faucet. More than they've ever paid in American history. Well, most people can't afford that. Well, you want an example of what happens when people can't afford relatively small water bills? Look at Detroit, where if you can't pay the water bill, your water is shut off. And that is a double negative. So, what about all the thousands of small communities that don't have water, and they're not near a major city, and no one's going to make a side route to them. It's just not economically feasible. They're being told, go dig your own wells, because the state and the federal government no longer have enough water to give you. But some of these wells have no geological surveys, meaning no one's gone in there from the U.S. Geological Society and done the measurements. Do you have water? How large amount is it? Is it drinkable? How deep is it? Because some of these wells can cost you at least $100 a foot to drill. What if you have to go down 1,000 feet? 1,000 feet times $100? That's more than an individual could afford. That's even more than some small communities can afford. For example, there's the Cantaloupe Capital, 11,000 people, 45% unemployment out in California. They don't have any more water. It's coming in via the state or the canal. So they're told, go dig a well. Where's that money going to come from? The people are unemployed. They don't have the money. They can't borrow the money. No one's loaning the money. Right now, in Texas alone, there are over 200 communities that have little or no water. That's just one state, and it's not the worst. Nevada is the worst state in America. It is dead in the future. If you think not, mark my words, in 10 years from now. So what about smaller communities? I predict that within the next 3 to 4 years, you'll have upwards of 5,000 communities in the United States that'll have little or no water whatsoever. They'll be left to their own means. And that means you're going to have migrations away from these communities, and these towns becoming dust bowls, because the desertification of America is spreading. And you're also seeing something else. You're not just seeing dust storms in the West. I was recently flying out to the West to film, and I saw a sandstorm. Now, you'd have thought, sandstorms in the United States? That's in Saudi Arabia. That's in Kuwait. Yes, it's now in the old West. Mile high, miles wide. And unlike dust that just causes an inconvenience, bad for your health, sand can rip things down, can destroy the paint on your car, your home, break windows. That's the new reality. So we had our 50 years of living where we shouldn't have. That generation is pretty much gone. And the message for the newer generation, you're not going to be able to go to the places everyone else wanted to go to, because they're not going to be having enough soil or water, hence food, the two commodities of life. So now they're privatizing it. That said, here's the latest on this from Global Research, from Joshim Hagopian. Quote, "There is no greater natural resource on this earth than water. As the subsistence of all life, water keeps every living and breathing organism, every plant, every animal, and every human being on this planet alive. In the same way that without air to breathe, without water, we humans cannot sustain life for more than a few days. Due to global warming, widespread drought, and increasingly polluted water systems, the projected availability of clean fresh water in years to come to meet the rising demands by a growing global population is among the most daunting human challenges of this century. By next year, under 12 months from now, a 17% increase in global water demand is projected." Let me repeat that so you get an idea how mammoth this is. In under 12 months, there's going to be a 17% increase in global water demand, and that's just for increasing agricultural produced food. By the same year, the growing global population will increase water consumption needs by 40% over the next 9 years. And while oil played the keenly critical role during the 20th century, water is being deemed the most valuable, precious natural resource of the 21st century. As such, several years ago, the United Nations declared access to clean drinking water a universal human right. Conversely, willfully denying it is considered a serious human rights violation that denies it life itself. And any calculated decision denying people their universal right to life is nothing short of a murderous, shameful crime against humanity. Despite the human air pollution that has long been dirtying our lungs, while also causing global warming, climate change, and increasing catastrophic natural disasters, not to mention the growing global health hazards for us humans, the very thought of making clean air a precious commodity that can opportunistically be packaged and sold by the same corporations that have been ruining our air, that very notion would instantly be criticized, scorned, and ridiculed. Yet that is exactly what has been happening for the last 30 years now all over this planet with the Earth's preciously dwindling freshwater drinking supply. The World Bank has been financing global privatization of the Earth's water supply, making clean water that is so necessary for survival an unaffordable private commodity for the poorest people on the Earth as it even has any access. They are literally dying of thirst and disease because of greedy, psychopathic corporate profiteers, once again placing theft and greed over human welfare and life itself. Then it goes on to talk about which corporations are engaged in it. And we're not talking about people over there. We're talking about Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation financing research at University of North Carolina. And we're talking about all the different ways that they are looking, even Ted Turner and others, looking at how they view the world and their right to determine people's future. Well, it goes on in great depth to talk about water. So it's just reconfirming what I said. We in the United States are going to have less water than we've ever had in our history. So those of you who are living in the major cities, like New York, won't have that problem. Many cities will not have a problem because we just luckily happen to be where there's a lot of watershed and a lot of water. But if you're in one of the 20 states that are in permanent drought, you're going to have problems with water. This is one more thing to consider. This is from American Geophysical Union. Quote, wildfires across the western United States have been getting bigger and more frequent over the last 30 years, a trend that could continue as climate change causes temperatures to rise and drought to become more severe in the coming decades. The number of wildfires over 1,000 acres in size in the region stretching from Nebraska to California increased by a rate of 7 fires from 1984 to 2011 and way up, according to a publication in Geophysical Research Letters published by the American Geophysical Union. The total area these fires burned was 90,000 acres per year, or the size of Las Vegas. And it's getting worse. So what we're going to find is where you're also out of water, you're going to have more and more fires. So with more fires, you're going to burn off all of your supporting green, and therefore you don't have anything to anchor carbon or to hold soil. So you're going to have massive soil erosion. Not a pleasant picture, but if we are awake, at least something we need to know. And what's that going to do? It's going to cause hunger. And here's the latest on hunger. This is from Andre Damon. Quote, Feeding America, the United States National Network of Food Banks, released its annual report on local food insecurity, showing that 1 in 6 Americans, including 1 in 5 children, did not have enough to eat last year. The report found that there are dozens of countries where more than a third of children do not get enough to eat, but now it's here in the United States. So we have an enormous food insecurity, quote, more widespread in the United States than any other major developed country. So of all the major developed countries in the world, we are the worst at not being able to feed the children and citizens. The number of American households that live on less than $2 a day more than doubled in the last 10 years. How many Americans make less than $2 a day? Now, this is something we would think of Zimbabwe. 1.5 5 million Americans live on less than $2 a day. And plus there's 3 million children who live on, that's adults. But there's, within those 1.5 million homes, there's 3 million children that live on less than $2 a day. So they don't get the fruit and vegetables, they don't get the dairy, they don't get the meat, they don't get any of the things that we would consider normal, because we are a third world country for an awful lot of people. Just to give you a little wake-up call. Now, also on environmental, at some point we're going to have to stop long enough and look at the world we live in and how toxic it's become. In the United States, from Elisa Sasso from Global Research, toxics across America, 120 hazardous unregulated chemicals in the United States. Quote, recent spills in West Virginia and North Carolina cast a spotlight on toxic hazards in our midst. But as bad as they are, these acute incidents pale in scope compared to the chronic flow of hazardous chemicals coursing through our lives each day with little notice and minimal regulation. A new report by the Environmental Defense Fund called Toxics Across America tallies billions of pounds of chemicals in the American marketplace that are known or strongly suspected to cause increasing disorders, including cancers, developmental disorders, and infertility. And while it's no secret that modern society consumes huge amounts of chemicals, many of them dangerous, it is surprisingly difficult to get a handle on the actual numbers. And under current law, it's harder still to find out where and how these substances are used. Then a report looks at 120 chemicals that have been identified by multiple federal, state, and international officials as known or suspected health hazards. Okay, well, how many actual chemicals are out there? About 80,000. So if 80,000 chemicals were exposed to, they've only really looked at 120 out of 80,000. Yep, that's how much power lobbyists and corporations have to protect their ingredients, no matter how toxic they are. One more reason why we have to pay attention. And what is one of the most toxic substances? Monsanto's Roundup. Quote from Christina Sarich, Roundup poisoned 125 times. That's 12,500% more dangerous than regulators admit. Quote, if someone opened up a bottle of arsenic, would you drink it? This is a ridiculous rhetorical question. But if you ask regulators, would you eat a chemical concoction that has been found to be 12,500% more toxic than glyphosate, the main toxic ingredient found in Monsanto's Roundup herbicide? It seems an equally insane inquiry. But even after numerous highly alarming studies published in journal after journal questioning the validity of Monsanto's claims that Roundup is safe, government agencies continue to allow the herbicide to be sprayed. Will this latest study be the one to break them from their poison-induced lunacy? A new study just published in the journal Biomedical Research International reveals that despite the still reputation of agrochemicals being relatively harmless, formulations like Roundup herbicide are far more toxic than regulators have previously revealed. So either they already knew this and refused to share it with the public, or some of them had just no idea how powerfully debilitating these chemicals could be when used together. And it goes on to talk about how bad it is. And yet, the FDA, the USDA will do nothing to warn us or to take these products off the market. I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. I'll just to address this article from the New York Post, The Organic Mafia, showing a gun with a crown of broccoli coming out of it. Mad moms are pushing schools and other parents to serve only organic foods, even though they aren't really healthier. That's what you have to say? That's fine. Now let's look at the actual facts. Fact. The ruling of substantial equivalence was never proven factual and was determined without scientific analysis and scrutiny through federal scientific agencies but rather became government policy through Federal Trade Group Organization for Economic Development. Now, what this means in lay language is, when challenged by myself at the time and others, that test GMOs, and they said, no, because it's substantially equivalent to organic. There was no basis for that. They had never done any studies. But that, because of their political power, that became the evidence. Annually, the Independent Environmental Working Group analyzes fruits and vegetables to measure their pesticide intake to rank what their levels are that we humans absorb. Peaches, nectarines, strawberries, lettuces, apples are at the top of the pesticide absorption. Can they name me a single pesticide that is safe in a human or baby or infant or toddler's body? No, they cannot. So how can you say that eating non-organic that has pesticides in it is safe? Forthcoming article in Arctic University in Norway from the Journal of Food Chemistry shows that Roundup in genetically modified soy is, quote, at extreme levels, contrary to Monsanto's claim. So look at just Roundup and other pesticides commonly used in genetically modified plants, and here's what you find. Fact. University of Sherbrooke in Canada, insecticidal protein called CRY1AB in corn was found in blood of pregnant women who consumed GMO foods and found in fetal blood. It's not supposed to be there. Fact. A study found that CRY1AB in 93% of pregnant women. Earlier Quebec study found presence of BT gene from GMO in pregnant women's blood and fetal blood and published in the journal Reproductive Toxicology. Also, 3-MIPPA, a metabolite from Roundup, found in 100% of women and fetuses. It is a propionic acid that creates burning sensation, shock, nausea, collapse, and vomiting when ingested. And also a recent 2014 independent pilot study funded by the Environmental Arts and Research Organization found Roundup present in American women's breast milk to be 760 to 1,600 times higher than the European Drinking Water Directive permits. Friends of the Earth Europe, 2013, found Roundup in U.S. water samples to be 100% higher than the permitted in the European Union. A study in Biomedical Research International, 2014, Roundup in combination with other chemicals is 12,500% more toxic than Roundup alone. And then first Seralini study in France, Roundup damaged or killed testicular cells in rats within 48 hours. Seralini's later 2012 study, carcinogenic tumors throughout a rat's body starting at 4 months of life. Monsanto study only tested for 3 months after eating GM maize. Monsanto's own study, rat livers increased density after consuming a diet of genetically modified canola. Leipzig University, 2012, Roundup negatively impacted natural GI bacteria in poultry eating genetically modified grains. Alarmingly, pathogenic bacteria resisted Roundup, whereas beneficial bacteria were susceptible. A study published in the International Journal of Environmental Research, Roundup is highly toxic to kidneys, and in combination with heavy metals from drinking hard water will destroy kidney cells. In September 2013, in Interdisciplinary Toxicology, the biologically active pathway of Roundup in the body is the same that leads to celiac disease and gluten intolerance. A Russian study using hamsters and genetically modified soy over 2 years, animals became infertile by the third generation. In 2012, Parkinson's disease was added to the list of conditions associated with pesticide use. In 2012, the Academy of Environmental Medicine found causal relationship between GMOs and infertility, faster aging, poor insulin regulation, changes in major organs and gastrointestinal systems, and immune problems. A recent Italian study suspects the high consumption of Monsanto's maize in South Africa is contributing to the immunodeficiency disorders that are being misdiagnosed as AIDS. Study: mice fed GM maize had lower percentage of T and B cell differences, CD4, CD8, and increased cytokine activity, interleukin 6, 13, 12, in the gut, all contributors to inflammation. And organic agriculture relies upon soil bioflora for micronutrient uptake into plants, making them packed with vitamins and minerals. Pesticides such as Roundup destroy soil microflora, hence nutrient content in industrial foods are much lower than organic. What's the proof? The peer-reviewed Journal of Nutrition and Health that mapped nutritional content in vegetables from 1940 to 1991 in relationship to chemical agriculture. Across the board, steady mineral depletion in magnesium, calcium, iron, and copper was found parallel to increases in pesticide, fertilizer, etc. Carrots alone lost 75% of their original calcium and copper content. Purdue University organic corn had much higher calcium, 56 times more magnesium and 7 times more manganese than GMO corn. GMO corn has 200 parts of formaldehyde, that's embalming fluid, but organic corn has zero. In 2013, PLOS, the peer-reviewed journal from the University of Federal do Ceará in Brazil, found that organic tomatoes had 55% higher vitamin C, 140% higher phenol, which is an antioxidant concentration than conventional tomatoes. GMO soy produces less isoflavones, a proven anti-cancer phytochemical compared to natural soy. Environmental factors. Here's where it's important, too. According to the International Technical Conference on Plant Genetic Resources in Leipzig, industrial farming, that's your GMO farming, that's the farming that's supported by the New York Post, is responsible for 75% of biodiversity erosion, 75% of water depletion, 75% of land degradation, and 40% of greenhouse gases. Glyphosate, the active component in Roundup, does not biodegrade. It continually accumulates in the environment, altering soil composition and contaminating natural resources. And GMOs and their associated pesticides are responsible for killing off bees, bats, butterflies, and other pollinators whose bodies are unable to handle the onslaught of altered DNA and chemicals that are characteristic. And finally, since you mentioned in your article in New York Post that, gee whiz, our food is safe, well, what happened over the weekend? Here's what happened. Food served at the Food Safety Summit, held by several federal agencies, including the USDA and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and big food giants, including Tyson, ConAgra, and McDonald's, actually gave some of them food poisoning. Quote, at least 4 people called the Baltimore City Health Department this week to report that they developed diarrhea, nausea, and other symptoms about 12 hours after eating a meal during the conference on food government safety. That was halfway through the conference. More than 1,500 food safety professionals were in attendance. So, here's what we know. We know that no amount of truth would seem to influence those who start off with a bias, start off with a prejudice. So you're attacking educated, concerned, and empowered women. Does that scare you over at the New York Post? I think it does. Because these are the women who are now questioning many of the medical procedures, like synthetic hormone replacement therapy, many of the vaccines that have caused their children to develop autism, brain dysfunction, and they're looking at the quality of their food. Now, you don't seem to care about the junk food, the toxic food, the packaged food, the polluted food, the high bacterial counted food that is normally in fare. But if a mother or group of mothers wants healthier, cleaner, more wholesome food without the pesticides for their children, that becomes what? A crime against common sense and reason? So you equate them with mafia. You equate them with organized crime. You equate them as what? Domestic, homegrown terrorist? Is that your idea? A fair and objective, I forgot. You're owned by the same person that owns Fox. And we know that no matter how many times you use the word fair and objective, we really should say psychopathic or sociopathic. Choose which you desire when you tune in or read our paper or watch our television or listen to our rants and chants from cultists on your airway. I'm Gary Knoll. Those are my thoughts. Now, just a thought here, and we're going to open it up at the end of the show for your feedback at 888-874-4888. I'm interested in your feedback on this. This comes from White House counterterrorism and Homeland Security advisor Lisa Monica gave a speech this week in which she urged parents to watch their children for signs of, quote, confrontational behavior, which could be indication of them becoming terrorists. You think? Well, gee whiz. Since you're already spying on all of us as if we already were terrorists, or capable, or have committed a crime, you want to read every one of our emails, you want to look at every single note, letter, photograph, you want to know everything about us, then I knew it was in time it would come to where you would want to know, are children acting up? What are your thoughts about this? And the fact that the media has given this comment a pass. I'd like your input. This is just why I consider America becoming a very, very disturbed place. 888-874-4888. Now we're just going to take a brief break because I want to tell you about something that's coming your way. Something that we're going to do in the month of June. I don't know if we're going to do anything after that. But in the last year, we've held 3 retreats. They're done at a magnificent place. They help people get a grip on life, detox, de-stress, relax, commune with nature, do yoga, cooking classes, raw food classes, juicing classes, artist healing classes, personal health counseling, personal exercising, as quiet as you want to be, but as engaged you want to be in your learning process. But we have not had enough room for everyone, so we've always had to say no to a lot of people. We're going to do 1 week, and if it overflows, we'll do 2 weeks. It's the third week, third Sunday, which is the 15th of June, going for a week or two. We'll have a wonderful crew. I'll be there. Luann Panessi will be there. Yoga teachers, chefs. We'll have 4 different chefs. Cooking classes will be done every day. Homesteading, organic gardening will be taught. People come away feeling transformed, rejuvenated from all walks of life. So if you'd like to join us, give a call, because in the near future we'll be offering it as a fundraiser on WBAI. This is pre that fund drive, starts in about 2.5 weeks. So you got just a narrow opportunity to say, yeah, I want to go away for a week to a beautiful place. I want to sleep on some organic sheets. I want to eat wonderful meals. I want to juice and cleanse. I want to exercise. I want to do it right. I want to journal. I want to come away with a mind rejuvenated so I can change my life. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And then Luann Panessi will get back to you. And Luann's on the line now. Hi, Luann.
Gary. Hi, Gary. Well, this is already, before you even announce this, I still have people that were turned away from the last retreat who were just so excited about coming down to this one. So, you know, I can also take calls if people want to contact me at my home office. I'm at 631-504-6198. Again, that's 631-504-6198. And I'll be happy to take your information and talk about what's going on. It's always life transforming for people. That's what I've found. I've gone to so many of them, and no matter who comes down, there's always some kind of transformation that happens. And I think that the thing that people like most about it is that they hear so much great information on your programs, and they think, boy, if I was just around like-minded people, if I could just have that personal guidance and be around these people for a number of days, I would have the strength that I need to be able to sustain myself through all the changes I'm going to go through. So those are the kind of people that I feel do the best when they come down. So, and they have a great time. You're in a beautiful bucolic setting. The weather is going to be great. And people are looking forward to warm weather, I know that, especially up here in the north.
No, you're going to enjoy the swimming, the mineral baths that you can take. We didn't have that in the past. They're going to have herbal mineral baths with essential oils. And also, we're going to do a workshop on the best places to live and how to network with other people for your future. That's going to be important. So this is the retreat, and this is our mention. We were going to fill up, we're always filled up, because it's something people need, deserve, and want to do. So give a call, 877-627-5065. I just want to share a few voices from the one that we did in January. Here's a few comments from people.
All right, my name is Pedro. I'm from Staten Island, New York. I've been wanting to come to the retreats for some years now. It culminated at the right year, right time. This experience has been so unique. I've never been one to run. I've never been one to get up at 5 in the morning. Not only am I getting up at 5 in the morning and running, I was actually falling behind all week. And this morning, I actually was the leader of the pack. In fact, I was probably about 2 blocks in front of everybody else. Didn't break a sweat. So that really impressed me. Also, Gary did some energy work on me. It makes sense now, but all these emotions came rushing out. A lot of mixed emotions, but after the fact, I just felt cleansed. It was a cleaning of the mind, body, and soul. I must have lost about maybe 8 pounds by now, between the yoga, the pool, exercising. It just brings you back to life. You're brand new again. You're reborn. If I had to do it again, it's not even a matter of having to. I would love to do this again. I actually recommend this to everyone. The food is absolutely amazing. I don't think I've ever gone 2 days without meat. It's been 7 days, and I don't miss it. There's nothing about chicken, beef, ribs. I just don't miss it. I basically wiped the slate clean in my life. This is a brand new beginning, and I thank everybody for co-creating this experience with me. Thank you.
My name is Mike. This has been one of the most exciting movements of my life that I've ever experienced. I've never felt like this in my world, in my whole life. The amount of energy that's been flowing through me, the experience that I've had with amongst people, it's something that you can't put a price on. This is one of the most beautiful moments in my life that I've experienced. The food is outrageous. This is all new to me. I'm not a vegan. It looks like I'm turning to a vegan, which is a good thing. I've never tried this type of food before. This is all brand new. And the amount of energy is unbelievable. And walking, I've never walked 4 miles a day in my life. We've been doing this every day of the week and with no problem. The energy is here. I mean, I feel very blessed to be here. Thank you, Gary.
Those are just some of the people that gave unsolicited testimonies about how 1 week in their life changed their life. It could do the same for you. We'll be there to help you in that process. Ask yourself this. Is it time to change? When? And we're there to help. Call 877-627-5065. Thank you, Luann. And Luann, okay. Give your number also.
Yes, it's 631-504-6198. Again, 631-504-6198.
Thank you. Let's say hello to Rochelle from South Carolina. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi, Gary. The time to change is now, but that's not what I called about. I called about the confrontational children, and I know I'm a long-time listener. I know what they're setting up. They're setting up for more pharmaceuticals, more Ritalin, more Prozac, and that'll be the solution to the parents for the confrontational behavior. And they'll be having this guillotine over their heads. Look, if you don't get them on the drugs and control them, we may have to put them in prison. So we may also have more children in prison. And that's also good for Alec and all those companies that make money off the prison system.
I appreciate your input. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Gary.
And that's certainly, we got to keep in mind, we have the most drugged children in the world per population. 10 million children have to take a drug each day. And by now classifying defiance as a brain chemical imbalance that is now medically accepted, then if your school teacher or a parent says, You know, Jimmy's being defiant. Suddenly, Jimmy goes from just a normal process of growth to now being pathologized. That is not a good way to doing it, especially when we're not looking at the larger picture. For example, this is the latest on we're willing to drug our children. We're looking for any child that shows any behavior that can be pathologized. And yet, we're not feeding our children. And that's bad. You heard me mention earlier how many people, how many kids in particular, are hungry, that are their families are earning under $2 a day. Under $2 a day, 3 million kids. How many kids go to bed hungry each day? 18 million. That's a tremendous amount of children. In fact, there are 16 states, including California, the most populous state in the country, where more than 1 in 4 children are food insecure. And food insecurity means that a household does not always have access to adequate food to maintain a healthy or active lifestyle. And when recession hit, the number of food insecure people skyrocketed from 38 million to over 50 million. And that's a whole bunch of people who are not getting enough food. And yet we are not paying attention to what these kids need and what happens when you have a child that's not given enough fruits and vegetables and protein each day. It's really terrible. What do?
We hope you're coming with us.
They cut the food stamp benefits by $5 billion for the first cut alone, amounting to the entire operating budget of the Feeding America network. It was like wiping out everything that they had done, all so they could give more to the military-industrial complex. I think we just have some wrong priorities there. And finally, why don't we have more honest science in the United States? Because historically, the moment someone said, well, I read this in the peer-reviewed literature, it was in the scientific journal, it must be true. Not true. This is from David Gutris. It says, quote, in the first decade of the 21st century, retractions of papers published by medical journals went up 1,900%, although the number of manuscripts being published was only increasing 44%. This was published in the International Journal of Radiation and Oncology and Biology and Physics, and, quote, one of the greatest and sadly all too common challenges facing contemporary medical journal editing is the adjudication of ethical integrity issues, said the editor-in-chief. Quote, I had originally presumed that this would be just an occasional role, but it transpires that these problems are quite widespread, ranging from unconscious and unwitting naivety to the conscious and willful betrayal of scientific trust. And it goes on to talk about that so much is, quote, deliberate falsification by researchers. So here's the takeaway notion. We now have a scientific community that is so fraught with fraud, greed, special interest, lies, deceptions, much of it supported by the American taxpayer, that we don't know what to believe. We don't know who to believe. And I don't believe any proprietary science. If a company does their own research, more often than not, that company has something they need public acceptance, so anything that goes against that is going to be not given the truth of day. And now they're finally exposing it. That is a serious situation. I'm Gary Nall. I thank you all for listening, and I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day. Now let's go over and say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. Today we're discussing the mystery of Malaysia Air Flight 370, and we're also talking about six black women from Atlanta who set back black progress for decades.
Okay. You mean the Black Housewives of Atlanta?
Who is mm-hmm.
That's it?
That's it.
That was too easy to guess.
That's it.
I can't stand to watch any of those reality shows. Did you ever notice they only show the worst of human nature in all those Housewives of Beverly Hills, New York, whatever it is?
Oh, God.
The worst of human nature, as if that's what we need to see. We need to hear Utrice because she's always empowering, always here, every day. And by the way, in the very near future, Utrice is going to be visiting New York. First time in a long time, and we'll be doing a series of lectures for her to reunite her audience and back with what Utrice is doing today. So that's coming at you in the very near future. Over to you, Utrice.
Thank you, Gary.